The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Pretty good, thank you, Howard. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. The situation along the Gaza border has escalated after IDF responds to rocket fire from Gaza. This situation is not looking pretty.
Well, it's not looking pretty, and it's a kind of a continuation from what we were talking about yesterday, where, you know, we said that there seems to be an escalation in the situation between Israel and the Hamas-led Gaza Strip, effectively, on a number of different fronts. There are a lot of things going on with incidents between Israel and Hamas. We spoke about the incendiary balloons that are being sent over the border. We spoke about some other things that are happening which are causing the situation to escalate. And last night was no exception when code red sirens were sounded around the Gaza border communities. At least one rocket, and in some reports by the Israeli press, more than one rocket, perhaps even two, were actually shot down by Iron Dome last night. And that really shows quite a significant escalation, because it's been about 3 months, I think, since the last rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip towards Israel. So, I mean, in our world, 3 months is a pretty long time, and it felt like things had kind of calmed down a little bit. It's not clear who was responsible for firing these rockets towards Israel yesterday. Thank God we can say for the Iron Dome, because all it takes is one of those rockets to land in a built-up area, in a residential area. Huge amounts of damage, loss of life, injuries can be caused. It can be very, very serious. So, you know, when we talk about, well, we intercepted one rocket, two rockets, 20 rockets in a day, I mean, those are rockets that in previous years, when we didn't have an Iron Dome system, could easily have really destroyed parts of the country and really caused a lot of damage and injury. And yet, safe to say we're pretty blasé about it now. Well, another rocket was intercepted behind Dome. It's kind of, you know, business as usual, unfortunately. But that is the situation, and we can really be very grateful to the IDF soldiers and to the Iron Dome system for protecting us. The IDF did respond, as is the policy of the IDF, to respond to every source of an attack from Gaza. There was apparently response by the Air Force and response by Israeli tanks, Israeli warplanes and military aircraft apparently attacked a number of terrorist targets in a military compound, we're told, belonging to Hamas in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. This was actually officially acknowledged by the IDF spokesman's office. And so, you know, the situation continues. This morning, there seems to be an element of calm that's been restored. I think that, you know, the intelligence community will be trying to find out who was the source of the firing of that rocket, of those rockets yesterday. The response has been fairly muted, I would say. A few sorties from warplanes and a few missiles fired from Israeli tanks towards the Gaza Strip, and then a little bit of quiet. So, you know, I think that we will see what happens on those border fence riots that usually escalate on a Friday each week, and we'll have to take a, you know, rain check to see what happens tomorrow and how the events of this week may well have affected what people do tomorrow.
Do we have any update as to how the talks? I know the Egyptians were trying to calm things down and trying to de-escalate the situation directly with Hamas. Do we have any word on that?
Well, we haven't had any official reports about, you know, what the Egyptians have been doing in Hamas. We know that representatives from the Egyptian government were in the Gaza Strip in order to try and calm things down and to convince Hamas, you know, to keep a track on things and to try to de-escalate the situation as much as possible. We also understand that Hamas doesn't have it in their interest at the moment to escalate the situation beyond what it is at the moment. So, you know, the question is whether there might be renegade groups within Gaza who are doing this on purpose and are not coming under the command of Hamas for one reason or another, trying to escalate the situation. It's not clear yet. There could be one of a number of different scenarios that, you know, have transpired. Either it's a renegade group that is trying to oppose the Hamas command and doing it against Hamas's interests, or it is being done also by a renegade group, but with the support of Hamas, and Hamas is sort of washing their hands of it and saying, we don't know anything about this, but in fact they really do. Or it could be, you know, there could be any different scenario going on within the Gaza Strip. It is a little bit of the Wild West, you know, it's not a standard kind of country situation area that's ruled over, where you have a government that's in control and they call the shots, and if anybody steps out of line, you have a police force and you have an army, and they get disciplined accordingly. It's nothing like that in the Gaza Strip. There's a lot of people acting according to their own law there. And so for the Israeli security community, you know, it takes a lot of working out to see which elements are at play and which groups are calling the shots.
Very, very scary situation indeed, and certainly one that we will be keeping an eye on. Moving on to things political, the Blue and White Coalition yesterday released the election platform. What are the main details of this?
So I think, you know, the press have ironically concentrated on what's not in the election platform rather than what is in the election platform. And, you know, I've said a few times that it's strange for me that there are so many people who seem to be supporting the Kahol Lavan, the Blue and White Coalition between Benny Gantz's party and Yair Lapid's party, without really knowing what they stand for. So yesterday, finally, they issued this document, which I think runs into 40 or 50 pages, setting out the main elements of their platform. And yet, as I said before, the press have concentrated on what's not there. And the thing that they've said is not there is an acknowledgement of the rise of a Palestinian state at some point. This document does not acknowledge in any form the possibility of a Palestinian state. What it does say is that they will weigh up the Trump plan that has yet to be presented, and that they will support it in principle, that they express a very strong support for a united Jerusalem, and they also support express a quite strong support for the settlement blocks within the Judea and Samaria area. Now, it's not exactly clear what that means. Some press have interpreted that to mean even some sort of an autonomous kind of rule for those settlement blocks. It's very, very difficult for me to see how that would work, but they certainly support strengthening the settlement blocks and allowing normal life in places that Israelis live. That's what the document says. And that the Jordan Valley will be Israel's eastern security border. So once again, you know, there's no talk at all of the possibility of recognizing a Palestinian state. And I think that this is very, very interesting because the Likud party have tried to paint the Blue and White Coalition as being very left-wing. And a left-wing coalition, you would expect, would come out very strongly supporting the idea of an autonomous Palestinian state, and yet this document really doesn't. So I think that the document has served to confuse some people. The left-wingers are calling the Blue and White Coalition very right-wing. Of course, the Likud are painting them as, you know, it was Bibi or Tibi that we spoke about earlier this week, where, you know, the Likud was trying to intimate that in order for Benny Gantz to be prime minister, he would have to strike a deal with the Arab parties in the Knesset in order to have enough seats to form a coalition. That doesn't really seem to be the case in terms of what's been presented in this document. There is some reference to, you know, economic policies, but I think the most important and the most interesting thing is really trying to place them on the spectrum of the political left and right wing and where they really fit. And I think that, you know, I think they're trying to place themselves somewhere in the middle, giving a little bit to each of the various support groups from the left and the right that would give them a reason to support this Blue and White Coalition. But I think on the whole, if I was to interpret this document, it seems to me to place them nearer to the Likud than they are to the Labour Party. That's my interpretation.
It's very interesting because the one thing that bothers me tremendously is it's not, you know, you need to stand for something. It can't be in your manifesto to say, well, we're going to look at that document that Trump presents. That is hardly leadership at all.
Well, I think what they really stand for, and what people, the people who are supporting them, are supporting them in order to oppose Netanyahu rather than to support Blue and White. I think that's the truth. I think that they see in Benny Gantz, and perhaps to a lesser degree in Yair Lapid, a person who for the first time has really stood up and said and looks like they might be a prime minister, prime ministerial sort of material. Because up until now, the candidates who presented themselves as being the alternatives to Prime Minister Netanyahu haven't really been prime ministerial in the way that they've gone about things. And so therefore, people have not felt the confidence to support them as a possible replacement prime minister for Prime Minister Netanyahu and for, of course, the ruling Likud. But for the first time, Benny Gantz, who clearly has had a lot of leadership experience. I mean, you know, leading the IDF is not a simple task. And by the way, he's not the only one. Let's not forget that he is one of three former chiefs of general staff who are in this party, being Moshe Bogi Yaalon and, of course, Gabi Ashkenazi, who are also senior members of the party. But Benny Gantz ultimately is the person who's standing up at the helm to be a prime ministerial candidate. And I think for the first time, the general public is seeing somebody. Not only is he very tall and significant in his stature, but I think people are seeing him as being a potential prime minister of this country, somebody who could potentially lead the country. What exactly he stands for, people are still trying to work out, but at least he presents himself as being somebody who could lead the country as an alternative to Netanyahu.
Has there been an impact on Netanyahu's indictment, or was it a big event when it happened, but it seems to, you know, but it kind of dissipated as people talk about other issues?
It does seem to have kind of been dissolved in the whole mix of things. I mean, it's clearly there in the background, as it has been for many months and even years. You know, the threat of an indictment, and now, of course, the formal statement that the Attorney General would like to, intends to indict him. But as I said, when we discussed this earlier in the week, there's still a huge process until that indictment is formally issued. So he hasn't yet been indicted. And so one could argue that even if the Attorney General has already said, look, I think that this is a case that needs to be indicted, we kind of still are in the same position as we have been for many months and years, which is no indictment yet, lots and lots of evidence, many people trying to bring Prime Minister Netanyahu down, a lot of bullets being shot in his direction from all of those political enemies that he has created over all the years that he's been active in politics. Not a few of them, a lot of support coming from his own party, trying to display this whole incident as being something which is politically motivated and not really a criminal charge to be facing in the way that the Attorney General has presented it. So I think that very little has changed. There was a big kind of perhaps surge at the time that the Attorney General's announcement was made. But a week later, it's kind of dissipated. It's gone down a little bit, and it's going to be very interesting for me to see what the opinion polls are going to be saying next week and the week after, once all of this has kind of gone away, the platforms have now been released. What are the opinion polls going to say? My prediction is that there's going to be support returning to the Likud, and that it's going to be very, very much on the fence, with the Likud perhaps getting a slight advantage. That's my prediction for the next kind of round of opinion polls. It'll be interesting to see what they say.
I'm tending to agree with you. You know, I almost get the sense that Lapid and Gantz have weakened themselves to some extent by joining forces, because they've now become one. Instead of sort of doubling their the support base, I wonder if that's happened at all. It's almost put, you know, Gantz doesn't have the political experience. It's certainly got military experience, and he's been around a long time. He's for all intents and purposes a superb a person. But whether he has that political savviness, I'm not sure.
Well, the question is whether the release of this platform of theirs, their policies, hasn't potentially weakened them as well, because all of a sudden now they're looking very much as Likud version 2.
Right, absolutely.
Because a lot of what they've written in their policy document looks so much like the Likud that it's just not the Likud, or it's the Likud without Netanyahu, because we already know that they've said to the Likud, we would like to sit with you in a coalition as long as it's without Netanyahu. So that's exactly what these guys are looking like right now. And I just wonder whether those people who were inclined to support them previously, now having seen the policy document, might not say, this feels to me like I'm voting for the Likud, but just without Netanyahu. By the way, there will be a lot of people who would like to do that, because there might be people who would support the position position that the Likud takes, but might not want to support Netanyahu as the leader and as prime minister because of, you know, the background of all the charges that are, that he would be facing. But I don't know that it's enough to put them into government, unfortunately.
Well, it'll be very, very interesting to see and to see how this continues to play out. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rock, thank you as always. Thanks for a superb week of support, of reporting on Israel. You have a Shabbat Shalom and a peaceful and enjoyable weekend. We will catch you on the other side on Monday morning. It is 8 o'clock.